Madagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hello and welcome to King's Kids. I'm your host, Stephanie. This week, we are privileged to once again be hearing from Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison. Last week, Tony told us about a section of the prison called the Tracks. This area is heavily guarded as criminals in this section are kept in isolation, as the crimes they have committed are so heinous. Entrance to this section of the prison is seemingly impossible. Luke 1:37 reminds us that with God nothing is impossible. So Tony, can you tell us how God allowed you to get into a virtually impossible section of the prison?
Yes, I can, because you know the track section is nobody's allowed in there, no prisoner, and only the guards that are assigned to that area can get there. And if you understand prisons, you must go through a gate when you want to go from point A to point B. And the guards are very strict on why they let you pass through the gate at any time. But the section to the track section is virtually impossible to get to. But I remember God said to me, Tony, he said, I want you to go to the track section and I want you to preach a sermon. And I said to God, I said, they're not going to let me through this gate. No way in the world are they going to let me through this gate. So I went up to the guard at the gate, because it's also the area that you can go for visits. And I went up to the guard at the gate and I said, he said, where do you want to go, prisoner? He said, where do you want to go? And I said, look, I just need to go down there. I never said where I wanted to go. And that's not enough to get you through a gate inside a prison. But he opened the gate and he said, Tony, he said, you just keep going, you're right. And then when I got halfway down the walkway, I turned towards the track section. And normally there's three or four guards there. And there was nobody there at all. Anyway, I looked into the office. I couldn't see anybody. So the Holy Spirit said to me, Tony, go up to that gate. And when I got there, I couldn't even see into the prison. It was so dark and dingy in there, I couldn't see anybody. And God just said to me, Tony, preach a sermon, you know, and I started to preach like I was preaching to thousands, but it was probably only maybe 10 or 15, 20 prisoners. And when I preached, I couldn't even remember, I didn't even know whether they heard me or anything like that. It was so quiet. And then, you know, when I finished preaching, I went back to the prison yard that I was in. And I said, God, I don't know what happened there. But you know what? Over the next 2 weeks, the same thing happened. Nothing is impossible for God. I went over to the gate. The prison guard let me through. And each time I got to the track section, there was no one to be seen. And I preached the sermon again. About a week later, I got a letter in the mail. And it was addressed to Tony Dennison. And I got this letter from a woman whose son was in the track section. And she said, I got your name from somebody else. Somebody said that you were probably the only Christian in that prison. So I've written to you to tell you what happened. She said, when you went down there and when you preached that sermon, my son was in the track section. He didn't know whether it was a human being or whether it was an angel or whether it was God speaking to him. And you know what she said? When I gave the talk and I said, you know, if you don't know God, now's a good time to trust God, invite him into your life. And she said, this prisoner did. And she said, but Tony, I want you to understand. And I want you to understand what my son was in prison for. She said, my son was a junkie. And he was out of control. He was into drugs. He was into alcoholism. He was into everything that you can possibly get into. And him and his partner had a 2-year-old child. And what happened was, while he was looking after that child, he was high as a kite. And the baby wouldn't stop crying. And he picked the baby up by the legs and he hit it up against the wall and killed it.
From your love. to keep us from your love. How high, how high. No matter where I am, healing is in your hands. How deep.
Christy Knuckles, healing is in your hands. So what else was this mother saying in her letter, Tony?
Well, Steph, what she was saying to me that for the first time in her life, her son felt free of the guilt that he did. And can you imagine the guilt in somebody's life if you've actually killed your only child? Or whether you kill somebody in a car accident or you did something so terrible that you couldn't live with the guilt and the shame. But you know what? That day he was set free. And she told me that. And you know, at that time in my life in prison, I just had a minister come into the prison and we were starting a Bible study on a Friday afternoon. And God put it on my heart to approach the governor of the prison to invite this man to come to the Bible study. And if you realize how impossible that is, because they don't let people out of the tracks because people would try to kill them. But you know what? This governor agreed to allow him to come to this Bible study on a Friday afternoon. But in that prison, when the word got out that this guy was going to come from the tracks to the chapel, there was about a 20-yard walk from the tracks to the bottom stairs of the chapel. And you know what happened? If you follow God, there's always a price. sometimes there is a price to follow in Christ. It's not a bed of roses. It's not always going to be easy. And you know, that decision to ask the governor to allow this man to come to the first Bible study that we was having, there was a price to pay, because what had happened was prisoners, they urinated and they pooed in buckets. And when we went to go to the chapel, they lined up either side of the path and they threw this stuff on this prisoner. But because I was with him, I wore most of it as well. And man, I stunk to high heaven. But when we got to the top of the chapel, you know, the very first time that I was able to pray for somebody else, except just praying to God all by myself, you know, I hugged this man, and he was so, he felt so much unforgiveness in his own life. And he felt that nobody could love him, you know, and God reached out and loved him through me. And I hugged him, and tears ran down my face as I hugged this man. And, you know, I didn't know him from Adam, but I told him that God loved him and I loved him too. And, you know, that's what it took to break things down. And, you know, that Bible study started to take off in that prison. And you know what? Because of what happened, then the governor transferred him to another prison, because he didn't want this to be a regular thing where people that are unlovable, that people that nobody cares about, that nobody even thinks, that God even knows who they are, can be touched. Today, if you're listening to this program and there's something in your life that you think is unforgivable, that you've done something and you think that God can't reach out and touch you and change your circumstances, then you're wrong. Because God is God. He's God of all things. And I want you to know today that if you trust him and will allow him to come in and help you, and God will help you, he will reach out and touch you. And I tell you now today that God is God.
Soul, and I live for you.
Hillsong Australia there with I Give You My Heart. Tony, you've obviously had some amazing moments with God in prison, but I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing with us an example of how God revealed himself to you once again in your everyday life.
Yes, Dev, I can. And what comes to mind is years ago when I was living in Moree, I had to go to Sydney for a meeting at Parliament House. And while I was travelling there, I was praying like I normally do, listening to the radio and the CDs. And the car broke down on the Putty Road on the way to Sydney just after I left Singleton. And it's such a treacherous road. It was so hard to where I pulled over, where I'd broken down, for people to come and actually come to my rescue. And I was sitting there. Can you picture this? A black fella in a pair of shorts, a T-shirt and thongs. Man, I look scruffy. I probably wouldn't have pulled up for me either. But nobody pulled up. And I was sitting there talking to God, and God said to me, Tony, do what you do best. Pray and ask me and have faith that I'll do it. Just pray. Lay hands on the car. Believe that I'm going to do something. Speak it out in faith and get in and drive the car. So I got in, I prayed for the car, I got in the car. But even sometimes we have a little bit of lack of faith. We don't trust God 100%. I said, God, get me to the next town. And I should have said, God, get me to where I need to go. I got in the thing, I drove it, and got to the next town. It died. And I mean died. It was like the old cowboy movies, get a gun out and shoot the thing. It was dead. But you see, I had $200 in my pocket, and I rang a tow truck, and he said, you got so many free Ks, then after that you got to pay. And I said, well, I'll give you $100. When it runs out, just dump it on the side of the road, with me with it. Anyway, we got to St. Mary's, this garage on the corner, and he pulled up there, and he said, I'll leave it here, because they do mechanical repairs. So he goes inside, and I said to the guy in the garage, I said, listen, I need this car fixed, and I need it fixed by 1 o'clock tomorrow. Can you fix it for me? He looked at me and he said, you don't look like you got any money. I said, well, as a matter of fact, I don't. But if you fix my car, my God will turn up and pay for the repair. You just got to trust me. And the guy looked at me and shook his head and said, no way. And, you know, I do my best talking to God sometimes in the toilet. So I went out into the toilet, I used the dunny, and I said, God, you're going to have to touch this man's heart, because I need this car fixed and I need you to pay for it. So he goes back out into the garage, and I said, man, come on. I said, if you want to see a miracle, a real live miracle, can you fix this car, and God will send someone to pay for it by 1 o'clock tomorrow. Amazingly, the man turned around and said, okay, I'll fix your car by 1 o'clock tomorrow because I want to see a miracle. And I said, okay, mate, I will be back at 1 o'clock tomorrow. I left there and I went to stay with a friend who'd been a friend of mine for a while. And we went to dinner, and while having dinner, we had dinner with a couple of people who attended their wedding, and they was separated. And I said, give me a chance at trying to reconcile this marriage for you. And then I shared what God put on my heart. And at the end of all that, God said to me, Tony, you need to give this woman $50. And bearing in mind, I only had $100 left. And I said, okay, oh Lord, I'll give her $50 for food. They're going to give this relationship a try. And then I asked him, I said, how are you getting the work? He said, I've been jumping the train. He said, I haven't been caught yet without a ticket. Well, I said, God said to me, Tony, give him $20 for the train. So I gave away $70. I just love God so much that when God tells me to give money to somebody, I'm always happy to do it, because I know God will bless me. You can't outgive God. And so the next morning, I'm walking to Mount Druid, and I see a homeless person walking towards me. And God said, Tony, you need to give this person $20. So I did. I said, excuse me, sir. I'm a Christian. God just spoke to me and told me to give you $20. Please accept that. And he did. So I get to where I'm going. I've got $10 left. And my Christian friend lent me his car. But like every parent that gives a car to a teenager, you only ever get it back when it's empty. This was no different. So I get this car and I've got $10 left. I said, God, I want to keep $2 for a Diet Coke. I'm hooked on Coke. I need Coke. So God, I'm going to put $8 in the car, do what I need to do. And when I finished, I said, God, I need a lift now to the garage. And Lord, please have somebody there to pay for the repairs of my car. So he gets there about 3 minutes to one. And I looked at the guy at the garage and I said, has God sent somebody to pay my car yet? He said, nope. He said, you got 3 minutes. 3 minutes. You said God would be here at 1 o'clock and I'm waiting. The clock's ticking. You know what? 1 o'clock came and went. No money. Nobody come to pay the bill. But see, because, you know, I believed that God was going to pay for it. So I had to keep believing and trusting God to meet the need. And so 3 minutes had gone by and no sign of God. What does God look like when you're waiting for God to turn up and pay your bill? Does he turn up in a suit? Does he turn up on a Harley Davidson? Or does he arrive in a Mercedes Benz? No, this guy came riding into the garage on a push bike, wearing a dust-covered pair of overalls. He had a beard, he had long hair, was unkempt. I mean, this guy didn't look like he had 2 shillings to rub together. And he rides up on his push bike and he said, Pastor Tony? I said, yeah, that's me. He said, I owe you an apology. He said, because God told me to be here at 1 o'clock and to pay the repairs for your car. And he said, and God told me to leave 5 minutes early because I'm riding a push bike uphill against the wind, and that's why I'm 3 minutes late. He said, God was on time because he told me to be there at 1 o'clock, and I was late. And the guy in the garage, his mouth just fell open. He looked, and he said, well, if God's so good, he said, did God tell you how much money to bring? He said, well, God told me to bring $2,500. And the guy's mouth just fell open. He could have caught 100 blowflies. His mouth was open that wide because the bill to the repair was $2,500. God turned up. God was on time, but his messenger was 3 minutes late. He was probably working on curry time, as you black fellas know. But the Holy Spirit's never late, and God is never late.
Some wonderful words there from Tony. The Holy Spirit is never late, and it's the psalmist David who reminds us that God is our ever-present help in time of need. You've been listening to King's Kids. I'm Stephanie, and Tony and I will be back to share the rest of this incredible story at the same time next week. Please join us on Facebook, King's Kids Ministries International, and thank you for your company.